Welcome to the Second Nature Show today. I am Dom Campbell, and I am here with my co-show host, Alex Coble-Frakes.
Hello.
And Donna Masterson.
Hello.
And together we will be bringing you the best of what's going on to help you in your health, wellness, and life. So today we have a special privilege of introducing our first guest, a friend of mine, Scott Leeper, on our show. He is the owner of Mind Muscle Strength and is a certified health and wellness coach. And his specialty is mindset coaching. And so, Scott, I want to welcome you to the show. And I think I just want to jump right in here. Tell us a little bit about what mindset coaching is and your approach with this, and you know, what inspired you to take this on?
So mindset coaching is, in my mind's eye, everything starts with the right mindset. You know, I spent time in the military. I had done different jobs that I just was not good at and didn't like. I was a personal trainer for a while and saw a revolving door of clients. And really what I've, the thought process that was created in my mind from all of this is everything begins in the mind. And you can look at things in a negative light or in a positive light. You can get a six pack in the gym. You can create $1 million from your own hustles. You can do so many things, or you could go the other way. You can look at yourself as a failure. You can look at yourself as worthless. You can think that you're a waste of space and not worthy of your family or different things like that. And so in my mind, mindset is absolutely crucial. And it's hard to see in my shirt, but you know, true strength begins in the mind. And that is the God's honest truth when it comes to everything. I've seen some people in a gym that are that look like they should be on the cover of GQ magazine. And I mean, hot looking dudes, hot looking women. However, when you get to know these people, especially when they're out of their element, they're extremely depressed. And so it doesn't matter. But the thing is, people are looking at them as, man, they must have it made. You know, they look good. Their hair is perfect. They got nice, you know, a nice pecs or six pack or whatever. But what's going on in between the ears is a thunderstorm. You know, and they're extremely depressed. So that's why I've created the niche of mindset coaching and really focusing on people's minds. And then we take it from there.
Awesome. I'm kind of curious, how does that inspiration impact your own health and wellness?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, we'll go with the very basics. We'll talk nutrition for a second. And where I allow myself to have a cupcake here and there, or, you know, allow myself to eat some ice cream now and then. And I don't judge myself. I don't look at myself and go, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. Now it's all going to go to my waist, or now it's all going to go to my gut, or, you know, we hear all these things. And, you know, people are just very, very judgmental towards their actions. And so even when it comes to nutrition, I do meal prep and I do eat clean and that kind of thing. But I also know that I can allow myself to loosen the leash a little bit. And some people don't want to do that, and that's fine. But there's nothing wrong with that. Now, there was also a period of time about a month and a half ago where, you know, when I was in the gym, my workouts were you know, not the greatest. My mind wasn't really into it. I was working my jaw muscles more than it was my physical muscles, and then I started to injure myself here and there because I do too much of this, and then in between sets and I go back to it, and then I'd hurt myself. And so I told myself that I was going to give myself a 3-week rest. 3 weeks, I was going to eat anything, I was going to do anything I wanted to. I wasn't going to go to the gym. I was going to lift a weight. But the right mindset's got to be in place. Mm-hmm. Because 3 weeks is a long time to give yourself a break. Mm-hmm. And so with the right mindset, I was able to get right back into it. Now, granted, that first week's a little bit rough because your body's getting back in shock mode, but you know, with the right mindset, you can take an extended break like that, knowing that you're going to go back into it. And getting
Scott,
back
can I ask you a question? When you had that break and then you moved into working out again, did you feel the transition? Did you feel anything around the energies around that transition that you made?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a little bit difficult getting back into it after 3 weeks. I tell people to take a week rest when they start to feel like their body is getting sore too much, or even if their sinuses start to get a little congested and they haven't taken a break for 6 months to a year, 3 years or whatever. And so I tell them to take a week break. So what for me to take a 3 week break, that first week back, my energy was real low. You know, the strength wasn't quite there. I felt like I had lost some size and that kind of thing. But then the second week, I'm back. You know, I felt like the size was already back. I felt like the strength was already back. I felt like, you know, my energy. And that was the first time in several weeks that I was like, oh, my God, I feel good in here again. You know, and so the energy might be a little rough. And everybody's different. Some people might be able to do 3 weeks, jump right back in and be perfectly fine. For me, my energy was a little low that first week, a little rough working out. But the second week, Scott was back. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what happened with my energy levels.
Awesome. Scott, something that you said really piqued my attention. I work with people around stress eating a lot. Mm-hmm. And something that really piqued my attention is that, like, you kind of release the judgment over having different food that may typically be deemed by people as unhealthy or on the naughty list, right? So how have you seen your impact and your mindset around giving yourself some wiggle room with those types of foods impact the way you interact with those foods?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, people say cheat meal or, you know, bad foods, good foods, you know, people have different labels for, you know, things that, you know, we shouldn't eat. And granted, yeah, you don't want to be sitting on the couch with Cheetos every day and then dive into a tub of ice cream every day. I know, Dom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. First of all,
we think about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can think about it. But the thing is, you know, with the right mindset, you can allow yourself, okay, you know what, I do well in the gym, I eat clean, and I'm okay to have a cheat meal. I'm okay to go get some pasta or some, you know, a cupcake or you know, something along those lines. Or, you know what, I'm going to take my kid to go get some ice cream after school. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And the thing is, if you can allow yourself to do that without the idea of, I take one bite of this cupcake and it's going to go straight to my ass. You know, and we hear that a lot too.
That's what we think.
Yeah, you know, crap, we're just getting an inch with this bite. Damn. But the thing is, it's when you start to go down that rabbit hole, you start to create stress for yourself. You start to judge yourself. Why did I do that? Now I'm going to get fat again. I just lost a bunch of weight. And what happens is now your cortisol levels raise, and it's not even the cupcake that's really causing the issue anymore. Now it's the stress. Yeah. Now it's the cortisol levels. The cortisol levels are starting to make you store more fat. This evil cycle of judgment and stress and cortisol and judgment and stress and cortisol. And so if you could just allow yourself and be at peace with the fact that, you know, every once in a while I can indulge myself knowing that I'm going to be, I'll be fine. Mm. But with the understanding that you continue to lead a healthy lifestyle.
I think that's so important. It's like the energetics of that thinking, right? It all comes back to the mindset. That's worse than the food that you're eating. So I think that's a really important takeaway for people to really hear that is we honestly cause our bodies more harm by the judgment, the self-punishment, those thoughts than perhaps even just eating one cupcake and eating it mindfully. Mm-hmm. So thank you for clarifying that and getting some more light on that.
Yep.
I have a question for you. I'm really curious about because you were a Marine, and being in the military, a lot of military people are trained to be disciplined. It becomes a part of who you are, which I find intriguing, because a lot of our health and wellness does require discipline. And I think from my experience, this is where a lot of people seem to struggle with the lack of discipline. So having the professional background that you have from the military, but also now in the health and wellness industry, I'm curious, like, someone who's struggling in developing that good habit or behavior, how would they go about, like, when they're going, you talk about like having the cupcake, for instance, and they're falling off the wagon. How do they develop that strong mindset to get back on? How do you get yourself from point A to point B and stay that way? How do you develop that strong behavior? You know, we know how to develop strong muscles, but how do we develop that strong discipline?
So it's kind of like, so let's look at boot camp, for example. Marine Corps boot camp is one of the toughest training regimens in all the world when it comes to the military. Mm-hmm. And as a young recruit, when you go through it, one, you're so busy that the only time you really have time to think about home and that kind of thing is at nighttime when you're laying in bed. However, you know, when you look at boot camp, they always tell you, you usually break it up. Like, some people can break it up month to month. Okay, I've got 1 month down, I only have 2 months to go. Some people have to break it down week by week. Other people need to break it down day by day. You know, okay, I've been, you know, 50 days in, I have, I don't know, 50 days in, I have 20, 30 more, whatever it is. I suck at math. Anyway.
That's okay.
So, you know, it's just almost like going to the calendar and marking the X's on each day and just taking it step by step. So how I translate that for my clients and for people that are in the middle of trying to create some sort of discipline in their own health and wellness is just to take it a step at a time and focus on 1% improvement every day. And if you focus on 1% improvement, you don't try to force the issue. In 100 days, you have 100% improvement and you have a new baseline. You're a different person in 100 days, you know? And so, you know, and the analogy I like to use is, you guys seen the movie Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls?
Oh, right? Yes. Okay. Yeah, my favorite movie.
So, and at the beginning, he's at the top of the ashram, right? You know, he's at the top of the, he's in a monastery at the top of the mountain. And you know, the camera pulls back and there's a million steps that it takes to get up to this monastery. And, you know, so we kind of look at that view when we're setting goals or creating disciplines. And so the best thing to do, instead of trying to focus on the monastery, looking up like, how the hell am I ever going to reach this goal? The one time in life I tell people to look down is this time here, and that's to look down just to focus on that next step. Mm. And then you focus on that next step. And you keep focusing on the next step, and soon enough you're going to look up and you're at the monastery. You've reached your goal. Right?
What a feeling.
What's that?
What a feeling.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't even – it's because people are so focused on the goal that they forget to enjoy the journey. Well, I've lost 20 pounds. I only have 20 more to go. Well, have you celebrated the 20 pounds that you've lost? Well, no, because I'm not going to celebrate till I hit 40 pounds lost. Well, okay. So what's going to happen is you're going to get the 39 pounds and you're going to get stuck on that last pound and you're never going to celebrate your weight loss because, well, I've only lost 39. I've not lost 40. You know what I mean? So if people can enjoy the journey, maybe their body composition changes so much that they've only lost 20 pounds, but they look completely different. Mm-hmm. And they're not even worried about the last 20 pounds. They've gotten where they want to go, not because of a number, but because of how they look, how they feel about themselves at that point.
Wow. Good stuff.
Okay.
I'm really curious, like, in your professional opinion, after sharing that with us, because there was a lot of stuff there and it was awesome. If there is something that our listeners, if there was just one thing that they could do today that would positively up-level them in their health and their wellness, what would that one thing be? What would you recommend to them?
Set a goal, but take a small step towards that goal. And that's a very vague thing to say, but the thing is, different things work for different people. For me, my drastic goal that I set at the beginning of my health and wellness journey was in 2016. I started a new job, I started a new gym, and I saw all these bodybuilding pictures on the wall, and I had never once ever even remotely thought about competing. And I was like 190 pounds and probably 25% body fat. I was pretty fluffy. And so I went home after a workout one night. I went home and I told my wife, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to set a drastic goal. I know myself. And if I don't set a drastic goal in 3 months' time, I'm going to be out of the gym. So I think I'm going to compete. And she looked at me like I was growing a second forehead. You know, she goes like, bodybuilding? Yeah, yeah. She's like, right. You know, here goes another one of Scott's lame brain ideas, you know. But the thing is, I set that goal, and in about, what was it, I think 4 months' time, 4.5, 5 months' time, I went from 190, 25% body fat to, I think it came in at like 160. God, I don't know. I think I came in at like 5 or 6% body fat the first time.
Wow. Wow. Know, oh
right.
My gosh.
You know, and that's setting that drastic goal. And what that does, and just by working towards that goal, enjoying the journey, enjoying the process, that actually created a different lifestyle for me. It was all about pizza and beer before. Now it's all about tea and healthy eating. You know what I mean?
Healthy thinking.
Exactly. Right. You know? Mm-hmm. I kind of went off on a tangent and I slightly forgot what the question was, but I think I answered it.
You did.
Okay. Sure did. All right. Awesome.
You did. So if someone was interested in your services, like, what does that look like and how would you work together?
Well, first and foremost, the person to work with me, they absolutely must be ready for a mental change, for a mindset shift. And the thing is, when people need a mindset shift, when they need new perspectives, they feel stuck in life, in all facets of life, there's usually the common denominator of something in their history is keeping them stuck. Mm-hmm. Something happened as a child, a divorce, a bankruptcy. Maybe it was, being bullied as a kid. You know, just different things like that. So they've got to be ready to face these things. And it's a very scary thing to do. But just as we've seen recently with some other coaches that have really owned their truth and owned their past and own their story rather than their story owning them, it's now they can move forward. Now they have the absolute ability of moving forward in their personal life, their professional life, their spiritual life, their relational life. And so if they're going to work with me, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to face your fears. You got to be ready to face your challenges and get ready for a completely different mindset shift.
Just like a moment of personal testimony. We were all just at an event together. And Scott encouraged me to just get up and own my fears and own my truth, because whatever we don't own owns us. And I did that, and it was a really beautiful experience. And there was a physical and mental weight that was just like released. And so if anyone's curious, Scott's not my coach, but just like coaching me in that moment really made a huge shift. So I just appreciate that that's kind of the frame and that's the set point that you come to with your coaching, because it works. Whew, I can say firsthand, you know, it was pretty incredible. So thank you for that.
So, and when I first challenged you, it was scary as hell, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. But
and I was then, like, oh.
said it, there was
maybe not.
Yeah. And then when you said it, there was still this little bit of fear of, I still don't know what people are going to think. Mm-hmm. Right. And you talked about afraid of losing your home. That is HCI and your fellow coaches.
Yeah.
But as soon as you said that, you could actually physically see, watch you, like that chest came out a little bit, the chin came up a little bit, the confidence built, your shoulders kind of like felt like they were not weighted down anymore. And I saw a few other coaches do the same thing, and talking with them about how they feel, they're like, oh my God, I feel so great by doing that. You know, because you finally trade in that fear of judgment for love of self, self-care being priority, and making sure that nothing owns you, that you own it, including your story.
I'm going to repeat that line just in case our listeners missed it, but like trading in the fear of judgment for the love of self. That is a ride or downer, folks. That is a moment that like we should all post up somewhere, because that is freaking powerful. That is so powerful. And it's so funny, just like from my own experience, what I thought, I had weaved this story. Oh, like Dom's going to think this about me. Donna's going to think this. This person's going to hate me. Like none of it was true. We get really absorbed and stuck to our stories as a shield for moving forward to doing the thing that we want to do, because our stories keep us safe and stuck. Mm. Right. So you kind of have to choose, do you want to be safe and stuck, or do you want to be uncomfortable and set free? Right. Like sometimes we kind of got to choose between those. So I understand like why people may be afraid or maybe hesitant, because the story that we have can feel really safe and cozy, but it's not going to take us to where we need to go.
And the other thing too is, you know, I like the phrase fear means false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
You know, we so many people are so drawn into some of these big cases, these big litigation processes that are all over the news and that kind of thing. And as soon as somebody, like they feel like somebody lies on stage lies on a stand or isn't being completely forthcoming, we're like, oh my God, they're lying. They're so wrong, and I can't believe people can't see straight through that. Well, guess what? We're doing the same things to ourselves by telling ourselves lies. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is, even if somebody does judge us, because people do judge by nature, that's how a lot of people are. But for every one person that judges us, 10 more people need to hear our individual stories.
Mm.
Yep. Right?
I agree.
So yes. Are we really concerned about one person judging if we can reach 10 more people? No. And especially as coaches, like this is our gift. This is now our responsibility to the world. And so we have to own our truth, because other people are waiting for us to own that. And if we don't, we're never going to reach the people that we are gifted to reach.
And we sometimes get stuck in judging other people because they're judging us. So like the thing we get so mad about, we're like, I'm so mad that you're judging me. I can't believe, how could you be judging me? But that's like judgment. So we have to really check ourselves too, right? Are we just getting stuck in the same thing that pissed us off in the first place? Because mm-hmm. that happens a lot too.
Yeah.
So happening to me, this testimonial time again, like I was doing that. I was like, well, everyone's going to judge me and I, blah, 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 right? So I was really just judging everyone else.
It's interesting too, because that judgment, there's a positive judgment and a negative judgment, mm-hmm. right, that we have about ourselves and or that we think people have about us. So I had that experience over the weekend with another coach. You know, I felt like when I was in their presence that I wasn't qualified. I wasn't as good as them. And I looked at them like, oh God, they're really polished. And, you know, I had the opportunity to really get down and dirty this weekend with this person, and we actually coached each other. It was a beautiful moment. And she revealed the same thing to me. Mm. It's like, I'm not polished to be with him. Mm. I'm not good enough. And we were essentially mirroring each other without even speaking. We were creating judgment on each other. Not a word was spoke, but there was that energy there that was there. That we had about ourselves, we brought about ourselves into that conversation, and it created a distance, a fear, mm-hmm. right? And we were able to release that just mm-hmm. by putting it out there and sharing it. It was, So good.
A lot of times too, in that setting, you know, we're giving that other person positive judgment.
Yeah.
But now we're trading in positive judgment for the other person and negative judgment on ourselves, just like you guys were.
Yeah.
And just the feeling that it's okay to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That the vulnerability, you know, there's actually strength in that. And the HCI community, the love, the support that you feel that you can be vulnerable and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful.
That's especially true for men too. And I know Scott realizes this because men are afraid to be vulnerable with each other. We are taught to be strong. We're fighters. We are to succeed. We're providers. And so to make yourself vulnerable seems counterintuitive to everything we've been raised to be or believe.
Yeah.
It does not come natural.
So true.
But that's where, that is where the change really occurs.
You know, as I was interviewing a guy last night for our book, was interviewing him on the modality of recovery that he used. He had been involved in heroin and benzos and that kind of thing, and he was talking about growing up and how his dad was. You know, his dad was old school, and you don't talk about your feelings. You bottle that up inside. You don't ever let it out. You don't ever show your weakness. You don't ever show any vulnerability, and essentially that led to that. That was a part of what led him to his addiction. And now that he's in recovery, he's very much in tune with his feelings. He's very much allowing himself to bring that out and talk about what he's actually feeling inside. Because, you know, if you guys couldn't tell, I love analogies, so I'll give you another one. You know, when you bottle things up inside, it's kind of like, you guys ever shake up a 2-liter bottle of Coke?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so when you shake it up, it builds up all kinds of pressure, right? So that's symbolic to us burying things inside. And the longer that we bury it inside, the more that pressure builds up, the harder we're shaking that 2-liter bottle of Coke. Mm-hmm. And then we get these triggers. Certain things trigger us. Something's said, something's done. A person looks like somebody that wronged us or, you know, whatever. And that's that trigger. That's that pop at the top of the cap on 2-liter bottle of Coke, which creates the explosion. Right. And now let's add addiction to this puzzle. And that's like those videos you see the Mentos being dropped into the Coke bottle. Okay. Now we have a geyser of emotions and a geyser of explosions happening because something's been bottled up for years. Right. So the more vulnerable that we can actually be, the stronger we are and the stronger we can actually become because we're not allowing this stuff to own us. And, you know, as we talk about it, the thing is, like a lot of people think, well, I don't want to tell my whole story. Well, that's okay. You don't have to share everything right up front. If you want to start just by talking a little bit about something that you did or went through or whatever, that's fine. You talk about it little by little, and that's like pouring that Coke bottle out just a little at a time. And then when you get down to this much, you have this much left, and it's flat and it's gross, and there's probably some backwash in it. When you shake that up, all you get is a little hiss at the top. There's not even really any explosion anymore because you've poured yourself out little by little. You've shared your experiences little by little, and that has actually helped you be okay with what's happened and start the recovery process, the forgiveness process, that kind of thing.
So Scott, what was that for you? That was that mindset shift. Where was that paradigm? Can you notice a point where you decided, maybe I had this idea that I can't be vulnerable, but this experience kind of turned me, and it was that first thing that allowed you to start pouring out and be vulnerable. Is there a moment?
Really for me, it was kind of a gradual process. And I think the catalyst at the end of the gradual process was HCI Live in Phoenix. And so the gradual process was really, you know, as I was going through my victim mentality and my pit of misery and that kind of thing, and pissed off because nobody would get down that hole with me and wallow in my misery. I wonder why.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. People would give me the rope, but I didn't realize that I had to pull myself out of the hole, right? And so as I started to make that realization, I started watching motivational videos on YouTube, and one of my all-time favorites, two of them actually, was Eric Thomas's guru speech. The overarching message of this particular speech is, if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't watched it, as soon as we're done here, go watch it. It's phenomenal. And then the other one was listening to Rocky talk to his son. Hi, puppy.
That's Charlie.
Listening to Rocky and the movie Rocky, the last one where he was the older guy fighting the young champ, and he was having a debate with his son in the street, talking about if he should do this fight or not, and his thing was, life isn't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. I don't care how tough you are, it'll beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. But it's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. And that's how winning is done. And those things really started to resonate very highly with me. And that's when I started to pull myself out and start to understand that nobody's going to get me out of this. I have to do this myself with the right people in my corner. And I have to hold myself accountable. I have to take responsibility for my actions, my mistakes, my life, in order for me to be able to move forward. So, and then the catalyst was HCI Live in Phoenix, when I actually stood up in front of 800 plus people and told a very brief portion of my story. And where, that fear of judgment, I wasn't necessarily fearful of sharing the story about my dad as much as I was fearful of sharing the story about being kicked out of the Marine Corps with an other than honorable discharge. Cheating on my wife and all these other things and afraid of what people would say. But as I shared that, people were floored at the fact that I was able to come out and talk about it. But that was actually helping other people understand that the mistakes they made, they can actually own it. They can forgive themselves from it. Who cares what people think? Somebody has to hear that message too. And just like this past weekend, I won't say name or anything, but sharing my story about, where me and my wife, what the things we went through and where we're at now, it saved a marriage. And believe it or not, there's other people reaching out to me, asking me how to do it. I just got a message a little bit ago from somebody I met in Phoenix who started hearing some of these stories and wanted to know how this happened, because they're still struggling. Just by being vulnerable, sharing that message, people understand that, okay, you know what? I'm not alone, and somebody has to hear me, or I at least need to get this off my chest just to make me feel better. Even if you really want people to, even if you're trying to reach somebody or not, if you just simply are just tired of being stuck and tired of feeling the weight of the world on your chest and your shoulders, then that's when you start to own it. So that was really the catalyst for me and what really made me start to own my story.
That's awesome. Scott, this has all been so inspiring, and I want to thank you for taking the time to come on. If our listeners wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
So I have a website. The website is still in progress, but it's up and live and running. It's mindmusclestrength.com. You can also reach out to me through email. It's mindmusclestrength@gmail.com. Or you can connect with me on Facebook at Mind Muscle Strength, my business page, or even connect with me on my personal page. I'm very open. I keep my personal page, my coaching page, essentially. And to me, there's really no separation there. And then also Instagram at mind_muscle_strength. Let's see. I have a LinkedIn page. I'm not huge. I don't use it all too much, but if people have LinkedIn, they can connect with me. Just find Scott Leeper on LinkedIn. I think that's it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Second Nature Show. It was a pleasure having you, Scott. We're really excited for you to kick it off. You set a high bar. You know, this was a freaking powerful conversation, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And we will go ahead and post all of the different ways that our listeners can get in contact with you. So don't worry about that. So Dom, where can our listeners find and follow you at?
CoachDomCampbell.com. That's my website. And that's also my Facebook page. Those are the primary places to go.
Perfect. Donna, what about you? Where can our listeners find and follow you?
Well, me is Donna@desiredstatecoaching.com. or my personal Facebook page, Donna Masterson.
Perfect. And for me, you can find me at fullyaligncoaching.com. It's the same on Facebook, Fully Aligned Coaching. And on Instagram, I am Alex, A-L-Y-X, the Fully Aligned Coach. And you can find and follow us on the Second Nature Show on Facebook and YouTube. We will be we'll have other pages and places to connect in the future, but that's where you can find us at right now. You could also send us an email if you've got any questions for Scott or for us at secondnatureshow@gmail.com. So no the in that one, just secondnatureshow@gmail.com. So that would be a great way to get any questions answered. If you're interested in being a guest on our show, reach out. And we are going to have some opportunity for 3-on-1 coaching coming up. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be super juicy. We would love to answer any questions that come up for you. So be sure to tune in next week on Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And remember, if you change your habits, you can change your life. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.